The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
ESPN app, Sirius XM channel 80. All kinds of places you can check out this show. What's going on, nerds? Lots happened over the weekend. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. Lakers. LeBron James. Look, they lose. The season's unraveling. Are they going to be ready in time for the playoffs? Party people, did you hear what LeBron James said after the game? I'm not even going to touch yet on whoever comes up with that, with the play-in thing, needs to be fired. I'm not even on touching on that yet, because the big news that's kind of getting swept under the rug because he said something like this in the past and people think he likes to create the drama so he can overcome it. LeBron James said, I don't know if I'm ever going to be 100% again. Now, if that comes to pass, is he done as the king? Is he still the best player in the NBA? Has someone taken that crown? Or is the fact that James Harden has been hurt this year and Kevin Durant has been hurt, does that kind of mean that he has a little less competition? Because would you put Giannis over LeBron if Giannis hasn't done it in the playoffs yet? Jokic, after they got bounced by the Lakers last year. Embiid, it was the first time he stayed healthy and has played at this level. Who? Is Kawhi coming this year? Did I get it reversed? Thinking the Clippers get the Lakers last year and then the Lakers get him this year? Is it reversed? Is Kawhi coming now with Paul George now that they have Rondo? I mean, that's, to me, that was the biggest news of the weekend. LeBron said, and people are like kind of giving it the short shrift, like not, well, you know, LeBron. LeBron said he might never be 100% again. Can the Lakers win a championship? Let me rephrase. Can the Lakers get out of the Western Conference if he's not 100%? This is getting serious, people. My IFB, that's the thing that goes into your ear, is showing up on screen on ESPN Plus, and I'm so confused. You would think after being, see, like, in the industry for years, I look into a camera and I would know which way. It's the reverse. If you think you want to go right on something, you go left. I still haven't figured that out, apparently. There we go. But look, so that's the first thing. LeBron says he may never be 100% again, and we're going to get into the draft, and we got Mel Kiper on later on, lots of stuff to get into. But to me, it's like, do you understand the Lakers just lost to a Raptors team that was playing the second of back-to-back and their third game in 4 days on a West Coast swing? On a West Coast swing where they lose to Denver, no Jamal Murray, right? They lose to the Jazz, and then they play the Lakers, the only game they won, second of back-to-back, third in four games. And the Lakers started out pretty good. And they had LeBron and AD. But clearly, they're not the same. And the other guys couldn't get it done. How much of this is AD, like, on the low, and Andre Drummond learning how to play together? Lakers have 10 games now in the next 3 weeks, about a little less than 3 weeks. They have 10 games. That's the runway, folks. And I don't think LeBron and AD are going to play in all those games. But that's the runway to get those two guys as healthy as possible and get as much rhythm as possible. Because if they are the seventh seed or lower, there is the playing game. And this is what LeBron had to say about the playing game after the loss.
It doesn't matter at the end of the day if I'm not 100%, close to 100%. It don't matter, you know, where we land, you know. So, you know, that's my mindset. You know, if this happens to we end up at sixth or fifth or whatever the case may be, or if we end up in the playoff, whatever that thing is, whoever came up with that need to be fired. But whatever.
Almost all the time, almost every time. If LeBron James is at odds with the league, I'll blame the league. Come on, it's your best player. He's been the best player for a million years. He's in the finals every year. What everything he's done for the game to elevate it worldwide and really post-Michael Jordan. Even with Kobe and others, the game never quite got as popular as it had been. LeBron has the game. Okay, well, ratings are declining. That's a pandemic thing. And that's across all sports, really. LeBron really kind of ushered in the postmodern era, the post-Jordan era, he and Steph and others. LeBron is the greatest player of the postmodern era in the NBA. And everything is an ambassador for the sport and everything. Usually I'll agree with us. Well, the league looks bad. LeBron saying whoever came up with the play-in tournament should be fired makes the league look great. It makes them look great. Look, here's what's great about the NBA. And I came to baseball as my first love as a team sport. And I know NFL is king. It's the most popular sport in this country. But basketball is a more perfect sport than baseball or football. It's more elegant. There are fewer rules. Like there's the game chess. It's a great game. And then there's the game Go, which is a more elegant game. Fewer rules and yet harder somehow, right? That's basketball. The rules aren't as Byzantine as the NFL and baseball. There are fewer breaks in the action. It's easier to understand. Each player displays more athleticism on any given play. You can play it by yourself or with, you know, 30 other people if you sub in. It's like the perfect sport. But, and the NBA is a great league, but there are two issues with the NBA. Part of the thing that makes the NBA great is that the best team always wins. Best of seven. It's not the tournament. Oh, a lesser team could beat a better team in a game. One and done. There's some randomness kind of injected into the postseason. Football, same thing can happen. It's a one and done. Baseball, the nature of the game is more probabilistic. And because of that, in March Madness, in the NFL, and Major League Baseball, you get upsets. It's harder to predict. In basketball, in the NBA, we have a pretty good sense of who's going to be left at the end, which teams are going to be competing for a championship. So what the playing game does is inject a little uncertainty into the playoffs. Because if you're the seventh or eighth seed, you might mess around and get upset. It's possible. It ain't a best of seven you're playing. So you see the rules on ESPN Plus. Seventh seed in each conference will host the eighth seed, and the ninth seed will host the tenth seed. The winner of the 7-8 game earns the seven seed. The loser of the 7-8 game hosts the winner of the 9-10 game. The winner of that game gets the eighth seed. So if the Lakers are the seventh seed and they lose a single game to the eighth seed, they better win their next game or they're out of the playoffs. Right? Now they should be able to do that against a 8-9-10. But they haven't been able to do that with a not so healthy or not back to, you know, basketball shape Anthony Davis, and obviously a LeBron who's still feeling the effects of that high ankle sprain. They haven't been able to win. They got a couple weeks, 2-3 weeks now to get into the position where they can. So the playing game injects some randomness into the playoffs, which is a weakness in the NBA. There's less randomness than in the other sports. So it's good in the sense that you really know who the best team is, and it's bad in the sense that because of that, it's not as dramatic. Okay, that's one. Two, since when should a seventh seed be resting on their laurels, right? Able to rest. Well, we can't rest till we want to rest. You're damn right. It makes the regular season more interesting. And if you want to know how much more interesting, they got that rule, this playing game, got the best player in the game and the dude challenging Michael Jordan as the GOAT, sweating it. They got him nervous. This playing idea got LeBron. No, he's not nervous. He just doesn't want to have to play when he's a little injured at the end of the year. That's the point. It's giving teams 7, 8, 9, real cause for pause, right? If you're a 6, if you're a 5, but you're not far removed from the 7 seed and you'd like to start resting guys, no, you can't do that, can you? Or you at least got to factor in the risk. Well, they shouldn't have to. They earned a 5 or a 6 seed. What? This ain't the 1 seed. This isn't a 1 seed with a 5-game lead. Why should lesser playoff teams, in terms of their record, get to just rest guys? Nah. This has made the regular season more interesting and more important. LeBron saying whoever it is should be fired just shows you the kind of pressure this has him under. Gosh, you got a promotion, whoever came up with this idea. He's making the NBA look good, LeBron, with those comments. And that was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. 888-SAY-ESPN. This is the Max Kellerman Show, coming to you live from the Seaport District of Pier 17. Brought to you by Chase.
Breaking news and Aaron Rodgers' situation overshadowing the NFL draft. ESPN's Adam Schefter reports the Packers' star quarterback has told the team he doesn't want to return to Green Bay. The Packers have made it known they have no plans to trade him.
Bart Scott. Former host Bart and Han, noon to 2 on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Former host. Why would you write former host, Raj? Host of Bart and Han. Former NFL player. Raj, it's unbelievable. Bart Scott, I'm like Anchorman. You ever see Anchorman?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, anything you put in the prompter.
I love San Diego.
Yeah, anything you put in the prompter, I'm going to read. So Raj writes former host of Bart and Han. And so I read it. Really,
I got fired. Hold on, are you telling me something? Something we need to talk about?
I mean,
Norby, what's going on?
This is what I'm saying, Raj. What he meant to say is probably like former NFL, blah blah blah, current whatever. But you know, Raj got some issues.
So what you're saying is I'm still employed.
You're still employed, as far as I know.
Not that I would stop this interview. But I just want to know, so I don't have.
No, we'll see what we can do about that employment by the end of this interview. All right, Bart Scott, this is what I want to know. Former Jet and Raven. Aaron Rodgers. You know, I've been talking LeBron so far, but the news really ever since Shefty dropped it on Friday is that Aaron Rodgers told the organization he doesn't want to return. What is your takeaway for, like, where does Aaron Rodgers best fit if he's not going back to Green Bay?
I mean, I think what I'm hearing and what a lot of people are reporting is that the Denver Broncos may be in heavy play. I mean, leave it up to John Elway to say, hey, I don't know how to pick a quarterback. Try with Paxton Lynch. Now I'm trying with Teddy Bridgewater. Now I'm trying with Drew Lock. You know, let me just go get somebody else refurbished one and go win some championships, because that's exactly what would happen if you put A-Ron out there with that defense. Now, I don't know what it's going to cost you, but it shouldn't matter how much it costs you. If you can get A-Ron and you're on his list, then how crazy would that be after everybody – flirted with trying to get Deshaun Watson and trying to get Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers falling to Denver Broncos is something nobody would have ever saw coming.
Yeah, and by the way, they're the AFC, talking to Bart Scott on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. You can hear Bart, of course, Bart and Han, weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio. The Broncos being in the AFC probably help, right? Because you look at some likely destination for Rodgers, you see the Niners. You want to trade him in the conference? You see, maybe
not
Washington, but the Broncos make sense in terms of here's a player away. And by the way, you bring up Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson, both great players, a young one and an older one. Rodgers is better than either one of them has ever been right now. Like, he's 37. He's the MVP of the league.
No, exactly. And you look at that roster, what they have with Fant. You look at what they have with Jerry Jeudy. What they have with Sutton, Melvin Gordon out there. They're ready to go. They're one quarterback away from being a true contender. And could you imagine, and within that division, going against Kansas City, we get Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes twice a year.
Oh, my
and
God.
And then maybe one of them makes the wild card, and then they got to face each other three times in a year, like we had to do in Pittsburgh when I was in Baltimore. Like, you're going to get some great matchups and some high-quality quarterback play. But also, if you're Oakland, I don't know why I always say Oakland. If you're the Raiders, you have to give up whatever you can get up to make sure that you don't have to face Aaron Rodgers as well. So he's on their list, I've heard, as well. So you think about the Raiders, you think about Denver having some fight, right, about how much compensation to give up to go out and get the best quarterback in the league right now. I mean, I think it can be an epic type of bargaining going on. And imagine Gruden or being able to, get him out there with the Raiders, too. I mean, Rodgers has flirted with Jeopardy. He can mess around having a one-man show on Broadway when he's not, doing it, in the spare time out there in Vegas. Could be amazing. Good for the league, though.
Meantime, talking to Bart Scott, co-host of Bart and Han, weekdays, noon Eastern, here on ESPN Radio, Max Kellerman Show. Meantime, they have to pay attention in Green Bay. They say they want to bring him back. The only way to do it, as far as I see, and like people can say, I was talking about this on First Take today, that it's not business. It's really personal with Rodgers. But as an employee of a company, business can become personal because they're going to put a number on what they – like, how do they value you? At this number. And
Right.
Once upon a time, $100 million guaranteed, that was the going rate, right? And then and now it's like $160. That's what Mahomes got. But Deshaun Watson, right, better than $150. But we know how bonuses and guarantees work in the NFL. It's prorated over the life of the deal so they can get under the cap. It doesn't, this 150 doesn't count against this year. We're divvying it up into six installments, right? So it's only 25 years. Okay. So the longer they think your career is going to be, the bigger the bonus. And I have a feeling, Bart, if they sat down with Aaron Rodgers and said, okay, you're 37. We're going to give you $1 million more guaranteed than Mahomes got. We're going to pay you as though you're going to play for a long time. I'll bet you suddenly it wouldn't be so personal. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he's just done with them. I just know when I hear the team wants to work out an extension, dude, if that extension sees a 2 or 3 year horizon, Rodgers is probably thinking, to hell with you. If you want to make this right now, back up the Brinks truck. And I'll bet you the Packers aren't willing to do it.
Well, they've never spent a lot of money when you think about the Packers as an organization. But also when you consider the fact that I don't think it's about money, it's about the respect. The last thing you can do with somebody that has a lot of money is disrespect them. And they went about it in a disrespectful fashion. Now, listen, going out and getting Jordan Love, that's not a crime. You're supposed to build for the future. Like you say, the same thing make you laugh, make you cry. Aaron Rodgers did it to Brett Favre, and now it's being done to him. What he doesn't appreciate is the fact that he wasn't told about it. He's a franchise quarterback. You didn't tell him, hey, we're going to go out and we're going to draft your replacement, or hey, we're picking your replacement in the first round. We talk about Tom Brady all the time. Well, Jimmy G was picked in the fourth round. When you pick somebody in the first round, and not only do you do that, you spend draft capital to move up to get him, then it's only a matter of time before that guy has to be your quarterback. Now, they can admit that they were wrong and do what Arizona did and say, you know what, no, we're going to get Kyler Murray. This is our quarterback of the future. But right now, they're telling them, not with their words, but by their actions, that they believe that he was close to done, and he had to do something first before he can open his mouth. They said, why wait a year before you say something? Well, he had to wait a year because he had to prove to them, not only is he still playing at a high level, he's the best player in the NFL, and that's what he accomplished last year. So now you can talk. Now you can say, hey, you guys tried to replace me. Everybody knows that it's a natural out in his contract in 2022 where it doesn't hurt the club, and that's where he's saying. He said, you're not going to dictate to me when I'm done here in Green Bay. I tell you when I'm done. I've earned that respect. I've been arguably the best quarterback in your history, and I understand that you had Brett Favre and you had Bart Starr, but I'm the best. Yeah, I only brought you one title, but I played at such a high level, you can arguably say that he's arguably the best player in franchise history. You don't do that to that type of player.
I would say he's easily the best, and that includes Brett Favre. Talking to Bart Hahn, Bart Scott, host of Bart and Hahn, noon to 2 here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus on the Goodyear Hotline, Max Kellerman Show. Bart, I look at the draft, and I see what the Jets did. The Jets got their quarterback, and they have a mountain of a man at left tackle, and they moved back up in the first round to grab a guy who in Vera Tucker looks like he is like surefire, excellent guard on the left side. Yes. They locked down the left side of the line. My Giants have been looking to lock down their line for 10 years, unable to do it. Yes. The Jets immediately do that. I was very impressed. Who, in your view, had the best draft?
Oh, that's tough. I mean, because everybody, you know, did pretty much a decent job. It's weird. It depends on what your flavor is. It depends on if you like what the Chargers did in waiting for Slater and then allowing, you know, him to fall and then getting Asante Samuel Jr. in the second round. But, I mean, I think boom or bust, you have to like what – I like what Miami did because I think that, you know, arguably you can say they got the two best players at their positions. You know, when you look at Waddle, who everybody thinks that was the best player on Alabama, he just got injured, and talk about Phillips, who had 15 sacks. Now, the bust part of it is the guy had 3 concussions and medically retired, you know. But, you know, if he's able to play and have a long career, the talent is there. And it was a position of need because Kyle Van Noy, they severed ties with him and sent him back to New England. So I really like what Miami did, not only because of that, because they got their two players in the first round, but they still got so much draft equity for next year to be. They still have enough draft capital that if this thing ever gets figured out with Deshaun Watson, they can still get Deshaun Watson. If Russell Wilson and this thing isn't fully repaired next year, they can go in for Russell Wilson. And they can be a dark horse because the reports is that, you know, Aaron Rodgers, right? The report is Aaron Rodgers' wife wants to be in a big market where she can have her acting career. Well, what better entertainment place than Miami? So, you know, they can be a dark horse for Miami for Aaron Rodgers' services as well. So I think what they did as far as addressing those two positions and being able to have the draft capital to get Aaron Rodgers or whatever disgruntled quarterback is available puts them at the top for me.
Interesting. First of all, the Chargers, like the Bengals, I thought needed to really protect their franchise quarterback, Joe Burrow, with some blindside protection, but they opted instead for Ja'Marr Chase because that's his going to be his crime partner in the passing game.
Right.
But the Chargers, who have some crime partners for Justin Herbert, who's an out-of-this-world talent, got him Slater, which I thought was huge. Meantime, real quick before we get out of here, the intrigue in the NFC East, the Cowboys and Eagles work out a deal ahead of time to leapfrog the Giants, hand the best available receiver to the Eagles, and then the Giants get an offer they can't refuse. They got to trade back. You're not going to give up a first, a fourth, and a fifth. Of course you're going to take that deal. And so the Cowboys get Micah Parsons. Is Parsons the best defensive player in this draft who the Cowboys just scooped?
Not to me. And listen, I'm not as high on Michael Parsons as everybody else is. I understand that, you know, Banderas is hurt, Sean Lee retired, and Jalen Smith hasn't lived up to the contract extension that he received. But, you know, you look at the talent there. He's an explosive athlete. You think about in Dan Quinn's defense, you know, he's going to be a blitzing downhill. But in all of my breakdown of him, and we've heard about the off-the-field issues, that he may be a guy that's in love with himself a little bit too much. And some of the things that he's done off the field, you know, is, you know, something that he's going to have to clean up, especially in Dallas where the spotlight is big. But for me, Zaven Collins was, to me, when I broke down the linebacks, you know, special and near and dear to my heart. You know, I thought he was by far maybe the best linebacker, maybe one of the best defenders
and Washington
in the league. You know, say again?
Washington you're talking about now.
No. He went to Arizona.
Oh, Arizona. The linebacker who went to Arizona. Yeah, I'm thinking of the inside linebacker who went to Washington. Yep.
Yeah, he's 6'5", 260. He plays every part of the field. He's a guy that had four interceptions. He's a guy that causes fumbles. He's a great down-the-hill linebacker as well. And I think he's exactly what they need out there in Arizona. Arizona is a sneaky pick to win division. I know I picked the Rams to win the But I tell you what, Zaven Collins, to me, was the best linebacker and by far maybe one of the best defenders in the draft.
Bart Scott, ladies and gentlemen, you can hear him on Bart and Han really every day right before this show. It's my lead-in.
I'm your warm-up act.
That's it. Bart, thank you very much for joining the show. Love listening to you guys. Thanks for coming on, brother.
My pleasure, man. That was a hell of a fight. I wonder if Ruiz, being with Canelo's camp, can really step it up and maybe step back into the forefront and be one of the top heavyweights in the division.
I wonder what he's doing getting dropped by Chris Areola at this stage in his career, but he got up and fought well. That's true. Bart joined me on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear more driven. I need Bart Scott on for Ballers on Brawlers on Max on Boxing. You heard all weekend about Aaron Rodgers wanting out of Green Bay. Is this business or personal? Recent data shows that out of all female-owned businesses, it's estimated that 1 in 3 is owned by a mom. CEO and founder Talila Goldstein is one such mompreneur. She needs to hire several matchmakers a month for her personalized matchmaking company, so she uses ZipRecruiter. Their technology helps her find the right people for her job quickly. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/max. That's ZipRecruiter.com/max. Is it business or personal for Aaron Rodgers?
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Breaking news and Aaron Rodgers' situation overshadowing the NFL draft. ESPN's Adam Schefter reports the Packers' star quarterback has told the team he doesn't want to return to Green Bay.
3 separate team officials have flown out to try and mend fences.
It's a few players in this league. When they say they want out, you have no choice.
Yeah, I think it's about a guy that's going to be in the Hall of Fame who's just the MVP, feels disrespected.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, The Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also check me out on the ESPN app and SiriusXM Channel 80. You agree with LeBron on the play-in tournament? To me, everything LeBron said made the NBA look great. He's under pressure. Best player in the game on a defending championship team is under pressure. If you're fifth or sixth seed and there's a chance you could wind up seventh, you can't rest guys. I thought that's what people wanted, the regular season to matter. And let's inject a little randomness into the playoffs. Not for the one seed or the three seed or something, but for the 7-8 guys. Why not? Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Just to show people I mean business, I'm going to take a call, Raj. By the way, is it business or personal for Aaron Rodgers? Everyone's saying it's personal, but, you know, sometimes business feels personal to the employee. Andre in Massachusetts, you're on the Max Kellerman Show. What's up, Andre?
What's going on, Max? Yes, business can definitely seem personal when you're talking about labor and capital. But concerning the Los Angeles Lakers and LeBron James, it is very serious, Max. And the fact of the matter is, forget even if LeBron is healthy, these Lakers might not make it out of the first round, never mind making a long playoff run. Okay, they've backed themselves into a corner. They've made their own bed. Now they have to lay in it. Max, it's either all out to get a higher seed, home court advantage in the first round, or the Lakers are looking at a first round exit. Adios.
Well,
thanks for taking the call.
Good call as always from Andre, but I don't know if that's what it means. Like right now, they play the Jazz in the first round. I don't know that the Jazz beat the Lakers if the Lakers are healthy. Now, if the Lakers are healthy for the first time when they step on the court with the Jazz, LeBron's back to as good as he's going to be. Same thing with AD, even if that's like 90% of themselves. Then, yeah, maybe you're right. Like, they need at least, you'd think, a week, three games, you know, to while they're all back together to get in the swing of things. But they got almost 3 weeks now in 10 games. As long as they have three, four games and like a week's worth of time where everyone's healthy and clicking on all cylinders, then I think that's enough runway to beat the Jazz. I do. I like the Jazz. I guess I don't believe they're real in terms of winning a championship. I guess when it comes down to it, teams like the Jazz win so infrequently the whole thing. You know, they have one elite scorer in Donovan Mitchell, and that's it. They have a real nice point guard. They have a real nice defensive center, and they have really nice pieces that fit. But in the playoffs, usually the team with at least two Donovan Mitchells is the team that advances. And the Lakers have two guys both better than Donovan Mitchell in LeBron and AD if they're healthy. Is it business or personal for Aaron Rodgers? Listen to Warren Moon, Pro Football Hall of Famer, of course, and until Tom Brady, the best old quarterback of all time, Sunday morning on ESPN Radio, Warren Moon.
I think it's a little much. I really think that they're just being a little bit too greedy now. I think a little bit too sensitive. If all these things bothered him about what happened with Jordan Love and all those things from last year, that stuff should have been voiced last year and taken care of last year, but it sounds like it hasn't. And I just kind of question the timing of when all that came out on draft day, one of the biggest days of the year for all these young guys, and all of a sudden he wants to take the thunder away from them a little bit. The whole thing just seems kind of contrived to me, and all they're doing is looking to the future again. At some point, Aaron Rodgers is not going to be Aaron Rodgers, and they want to have somebody ready to go. I don't know why he can't understand that.
Well, this is what I mean by business feeling personal to the player, to the employee. Because when it comes time to talk money, now forget about the fact they haven't inquired with him, hey, who do you want? They haven't, when he's offered it apparently, or said, hey, I'd like to offer my opinion, said, we're not interested. Stephen A. was talking about this on First Take. And you have to read between the lines. Stephen A. is not going to exactly reveal his source, but at a certain point, you have to figure out who that source is that's telling him the way Aaron Rodgers feels. Okay, and I have not spoken to Rodgers. I've spoken to him before, but not about this topic. So, on the one hand, I'm sure he has hard feelings about that. On the other, if the team wants to talk contract extension with you the year after they traded up in the first round, not to get you a receiver when you're on the precipice of a Super Bowl, right? But to get your replacement. And maybe they don't love the replacement. That's what I'm hearing. They don't love Love. Don't love Jordan Love. Maybe when they want to talk contract extension and your agent, you know, gets a call and they're thinking about 2 or 3 years, you're thinking, uh-uh. Because that guaranteed money is going to be based on the horizons that you see me playing, right? If you see me playing 3 more years, the guarantee, But I'll bet you if I'm the Green Bay Packers, I pick up the phone and I say, all right, listen, I see Tom Brady at 43. Aaron Rodgers probably had his best season. We're in the NFC Championship game every year now with LaFleur. We're going to offer him the biggest guarantee in the history of football. Go ahead. Beat Patrick Mahomes by $1 million. I'll bet you the personal feelings go away a little bit. That's my sense of it. Meantime, Warren Moon, he's like, hold up. They didn't even let me play quarterback. I had to leave the country because they wanted to make me a wideout. And Warren Moon, before Tom Brady, was the best old quarterback in history. And when that guy is getting on your case, you understand Rodgers maybe in some quarters doesn't look good. But again, Warren Moon's experience was such that when I'm sure when he sees a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers complaining, he's like, hold up, dude. You ain't going to play forever. But in Rodgers' case, he ain't going to turn 38 until December. Most of this season, actually, I keep saying 38. He'll be 37. So age 37, 38 is two seasons, 39 is three seasons, 40 is four seasons before he's 40. Brady's 43. Try it, Packers. You want to make this better with Rodgers? Try making him the highest guaranteed offer in the history of the NFL and see if those personal feelings don't go away a little bit. Got a new beast in the East? Tonight, ESPN and Marvel will air a groundbreaking collaboration, launching the first ever Marvel-inspired alternate telecast presentation of the Golden State Warriors versus New Orleans Pelican game. By the way, I know a lot of people are like, oh, God, it's too nerded out because I get it. They're like torturing the metaphor. I actually always saw the NBA like this. They're like superheroes, man, with superpowers. I think it's very natural, actually. The telecast titled Marvel's Arena of Heroes will integrate elements from an original Marvel story and feature characters including Iron Man, Black Panther, Captain Marvel, Captain America, Black Widow, and Doctor Strange into an original story throughout the live game. The broadcast will air live on ESPN2 and ESPN Plus at 7:30 p.m. Eastern and will follow select players including Steph Curry. He has superpowers. Steph Curry has superpowers. Zion Williamson, also superpowers. Among others, as they compete in a custom-designed scoring system to determine who among the NBA stars will earn the right to fight alongside the Marvel superheroes. When I was a kid, they had Muhammad Ali versus Superman. I'm into this. Nerd, yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
It'll be Blake Griffin to trigger. Far left side with 3.6. Gets it to Durant. Turns. Topside three on its way. No good. Short. Rebounded by Middleton. The Bucks are going to win it.
What was it like going back and forth with Kevin Durant there?
I was not going back and forth. You know, if you go back and forth with a guy like that, he's going to score 50, 70.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Check me out at the app, ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. Giannis and the Bucks make a statement. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Are they a threat in the East after beating the Nets? Giannis scored 49 versus the Nets. Third most in a game in his career. 35 of his 49 points, whereas DeAndre Jordan, against DeAndre Jordan as the primary defender. Look, guys like DeAndre Jordan, or even like the ultimate example of a player like that, let's say Gobert defensively, Ben Simmons had a good point. They should never be Defensive Player of the Year. Because they can protect the rim and they can do some things against centers. Can they guard multiple positions? You know, because some guys can do that. And like Giannis, for example, iced the game when KD was almost 7 feet, has an unstoppable move, the step back J. Giannis got his hand on it, smacked it, preserved the game, preserved the win. So did the Bucks make a statement? Look at Giannis go. Remember, when they were struggling earlier in the year compared to their previous lofty regular season standards, that was largely because Budenholzer listened to the criticism. Won 60 games as head coach in Atlanta. Won a best record in the East as head coach of the Bucks, but then they would fall flat in the playoffs. In Atlanta, they got swept, and even with a superstar on the Bucks, they lost. Earlier, like not that deep in the playoffs. So they were messing with stuff. Hey, let's see if we could. We don't have Giannis initiate the offense every time, right? Let's try some other stuff. And there were some growing pains. But now with Drew Holiday, you know, Giannis really needed a money crunch time crime partner, right? That's Drew Holiday. Are they dangerous? Yeah, they're a threat. If if, well, let's listen to Giannis first.
Basketball is like art. Every day you have the opportunity to create the art. And once you're done with that, put it in your garage or whatever you want to put it and move on away from that. But tonight, that picture that I created, that's who I want to be moving forward. It doesn't matter if the points I score, 49 points, it does not matter. I don't care about that. Absolutely. What I care about is how, you know, get it to my spot, how I slowed down, you know, how I was able to find my teammates, how I was able to miss one, miss second one, miss a third one, and still be able to come down and shoot another one. So looking at this picture, this is who I want to be moving forward, and this is who I believe I can be.
Yeah, the Bucks have a chance to get out of the East if, and only if, the big three aren't healthy. Let me be very clear. What was demonstrated last night was not by Giannis, but by James Harden in his absence. The way Harden was playing when healthy this year, best he's ever played. Looking at him, I thought it's the best regular season player in the game. Better than everyone. He was playing at genius level. And even though KD's better, Harden's more important to this team, conducting the offense. If Harden's healthy, nobody can stand in the Nets' way. I don't think anyone can take him seven games, including a healthy Lakers team. I don't think they take a healthy Nets team seven games. But here's what last night showed. If Harden's not healthy, I don't know that the Nets get out of the East. Everyone thinks that KD and Kyrie are enough. I disagree. I don't know that they get by the Bucks. I don't know that they get by the Sixers. What we saw last night is without a healthy James Harden, the East is up for grabs. I mean, the Knicks, Hawks, Heat, Celtics, Hornets, Heat maybe have a chance. None of those other teams have a chance to win the East. But the Sixers and Bucks do. Cole in Illinois, you're on the Max Kellerman Show. Go.
Hey, Max. How you doing? First of all, big fan of you.
Thank you, brother.
Kind of just switching topics here.
You got 30 seconds before the break. Go ahead.
From the Windy City, wanted to hear your opinion about Justin Fields. What does Matt Nagy need to do to put around Justin Fields and bring a championship home to Chicago? Let me hear it.
Well, the first thing is I think he's got to get him a better offensive line. They're not the worst blocking for the run, but they are not good protecting the passer, creating a pocket, right? Because Nick Foles can step into a pocket, be accurate down the field. He had nothing to step into. Trubisky could outrun pressure, can't throw it down accurately down the field. Fields can do both, but you got to protect them.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.